O Arjuna, the little part of the purport. The Lord's descent from this transcendental abode is already explained in the 6th verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage. And therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalist and the yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then the liberation they achieve merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord is only partial. And there is the risk of returning to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord. After ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we will discuss about the disappearance of the Pandavas and also of the disappearance pastime of Lord Krishna. That means going back to the spiritual abode of Goloka Vrindavan. As we were discussing in our last class, the well-known story about the disappearance of Pandavas, as it is explained in the Mahabharata, it appears that, you know, they also left their bodies as any other ordinary people left. And actually Mahabharata, exactly along with shlokas, it gives a description how they left their bodies. And as we have discussed many times, in our apparent reading, it gives this understanding that, you know, according to their karma, they also had to quit their body. Therefore, it is explained by the great acharyas, what to speak of the pastimes of the Lord. Recently we were discussing in the morning Srimad Bhagavatam class, that even one name of the Lord has got so many meanings. Recently one of our devotee got initiated, and the name was given as Raghunath Puri. He is sitting here, Akshit Prabhu. So then I asked this question to Radhanath Swami Maharaj, what is the meaning of this name? I said, we have never heard this name. We have heard Raghunath, we have heard Puri. What is this Raghunath Puri? So he said, spiritual life is very dynamic. It is not static. It is not stagnant. He started like that. He said, so therefore, this name has got so many meanings. When you see it from a different angle, you get different meaning. Raghunath Puri, you can take it as Chitrakut, because Lord Ramachandra lived there. You can take it as Ayodhya. But he said, when I was giving the name, I was thinking about Radhakund. Now nobody can think like that. So we need to have explanation given by the Vaishnava Acharyas. So what to speak of the stories in the scriptures? Scriptures, according to what they want to present, what knowledge they want to present, what theme they want to present, according to the theme, the writer sees from that kind of perspective. He sees from that kind of perspective. As we have discussed, that Mahabharata mainly deals with dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And an intelligent devotee can take the essence of that Mahabharata and understand that ultimately it deals with pure devotional service. Like one of our devotees presenting the stories of Alvaras, the great South Indian saints. And one of the Alvaras was studying Mahabharata regularly. And he came to one passage in the Mahabharata, and there it was, the passage said that the goal of life is to surrender to Lord Narayan. He took that and he dedicated his life in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. That's how he understood. He saw from that angle. So therefore, when we read these stories many times, that when people read this, you know, Krishna was also shot by a hunter. Pandavas also had to drop their bodies like ordinary people. And in fact, Bhima was asking every time, whenever one of his brother would fall, he would ask, why did they fall? And Yudhishthira Maharaj would give that answer. Just like it is explained, that when the news reached to the Pandavas, we'll go other way, we'll go upside down. First it was Krishna went back to the spiritual world, then the Pandavas decided. First we will discuss the story of the Pandavas. So when the Pandavas heard that Krishna along with all of his family members have gone back to the spiritual world, they decided now it is the time for us to renounce everything. Immediately they started planning. Parikshit Maharaj was installed as the king to Hastinapur, and Vajranab, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, was established as the king for Indraprastha, including the Mathura Mandal. And Subhadra was told that now you should take good care of these people and we are proceeding towards our ultimate destination. And it is explained that Pandavas went around entire country. They started their journey walking towards the east direction. And ultimately they came to the north direction, which is the place of Himalayas. And they started walking. They crossed Mandakini Ganga. They crossed the Himalayan mountains. And then they came to the place of ocean of sand. There was no water. Simply it was ocean of sand. And at that time, Draupadi fell down. She fell and she dropped dead. So Bhima asked this question. He said, "My dear brother, what is the cause of the departure of Draupadi? She never performed any sinful activities. She was very faithful to us. Why she fell down?" And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "My dear Bhim, because Draupadi was partial to Arjun, even though she was supposed to be equal to all of us, but some other she had special affection for Arjun, and because of this partiality she has fallen down." And they continued. And the next person to fall was Sahadev. When Sahadev fell down, Bhima asked him with great pain. He said, "My dear Lord, my dear brother, how is that Sahadev has fallen?" He said, "He never performed any sinful activities. Even though he was most beautiful, he never despised others, condemned others. Why has fallen?" So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "My dear Bhim, that Sahadev has fallen because he considered that he is the most beautiful person. He would always think that there is no one more beautiful than me. And because of this pride, he has fallen down." And seeing Sahadev fall, Nakul became greatly aggrieved. He was lamenting. And because of that lamentation, he also fell down. And Bhima asked him, "My dear Lord, why Nakul has fallen? What is the reason?" Even though Nakul knew all the scriptures, he was the most brilliant person. He knew all the scriptures. He knew everything about everything. But he was never proud. So again Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "My dear Bhim, he fell down because he considered that there is no one greater than me in the understanding of the scriptures. Therefore he has fallen." And the next to fall was Arjun. When Arjun fell down, Bhima became wonderstruck. He was amazed that how is this? He said, "Arjun, even in jest, even in joke, he never lied. He was so pure that how is this he has fallen down? How is that he is dead?" And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "My dear Bhima," he said, "Arjun, just before the beginning of the battle, he boasted that within one day I will destroy the entire Kaurava army by burning them to ashes by my divine weapons." He would always talk about his valor. And not only say that I will burn everyone within one day, but he did not accomplish the task. So therefore he has fallen. And the journey continued. And ultimately when Bhima was falling down, he screamed. He said, "My dear brother, why am I falling? Please let me know before I die." And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "My dear Bhima, you are falling down because you are gluttonous. You are eating so much, not caring for others. You ate so much and at the same time, you would be boasting about your strength. You didn't give any consideration to others. Therefore, you are falling down." Again, in the Mahabharata, there is the story of Yayati. Now all the Pandavas, excluding Yudhishthira Maharaj, they fell down and died. So apparently it appears that it is true that they boasted, therefore they fell down. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was giving the answer. In the Mahabharata there is a description of Yayati. King Yayati, when he went back to the heavenly planets, and there was a discussion. Many kings were there, Shibi was there, Yayati was there, and other kings were there. Amongst those kings, Indra asked them this question, or other demigod, they asked this question. They said, what is the extent of your piety? How much pious activities you have done? They asked this question to Yayati. And Yayati started explaining the extent of his pious activity. He started measuring his pious activity. And because he talked about his own pious activity, it is explained, he fell from his position. He started falling down to earthly planets. So it is explained, when somebody boasts about his piety, he falls down. You can imagine, somebody falls from the heavenly planet, what to speak of earthly planet. In the first place, there is no pious activity in the earthly planet. But still people want a big, big board. You know, such and such person has given a charity. When he gives the charity, that is good. But when the board is there, he loses all the credit. So apparently it appears that Pandavas also, they were boastful and therefore they fell down. And that is what the explanation given by Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And then fortunately enough, he continued to walk. And there was one dog which was following Yudhishthir Maharaj. This dog did not fall. And Indra appeared along with the beautiful chariot which could fly. And they told Yudhishthir Maharaj, said, "My dear Yudhishthir, that you have to come to the heavenly planets. You have attained heavenly planets, therefore you should come." Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "No." He said, "I cannot give up the company of my brothers. If they have died here, I cannot come there." Indra said, "No, they have quit their material body, but they have gone to the heavenly planets. You will find them in the heavenly planets." So when Yudhishthira Maharaj was about to board the chariot, and the dog was there, and Indra stopped the dog. He said, "No, dog cannot follow. Only you can come." Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "No, my principle of life is that anyone who follows me, he also shares everything what I receive. So because this dog has followed me, naturally it will come also to the heavenly planets." Indra said, "You know what?" He said, "According to the scriptures, if anyone who performs sacrifice, anyone who performs charity, anyone who does any tapasya, such a person, after performing his tapasya, accidentally, if he sees the dog, it is explained that all the pious credit what he has earned by performing tapasya is destroyed. Because the dog has glanced upon you." And it is explained that such a person, his tapasas are taken by the demon named Krodhavesha. They take all the credits of the tapasya are taken by this Krodhavesha demon. Just see, Indra was explaining the scriptural understanding. Therefore, even in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that whenever we are offering or taking something to the Lord, the dogs are not supposed to see it. Because when the dog sees, everything is contaminated. But fortunately, when a cow sees, in fact, when the darshan opens in many South Indian temples, the first darshan is that before you take darshan of the Lord, the cow is brought in front of the Lord. Even during the Panchatattva installation, the cow was brought. But just see, unfortunately, in this age of Kali, people keep dog everywhere, not the cows. In fact, in our Pune ISKCON temple, devotees had kept some cows. And opposite there is a school and there is a ladies' club. And they complained to the government that, the cow, it stinks. Cow dung, which is so fragrant, they are calling it a stinking. And then the government, unfortunately, which is atheistic, they told his temple that you cannot keep the cows. They bring their dogs, which is obnoxious in smell. That they don't mind. People kiss their dog, they sleep with dog, they do everything with dog. But the cow's dung and cow, they feel, this is not correct. So this is here one description. Yudhishthira Maharaj was told by Indra that you cannot bring the dog with you, because if the dog sees anything, all your credits are destroyed. Of course, Yudhishthira Maharaj's compassion for dog was not based upon his hobby. He was compassionate. So therefore, what Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, it has followed me, it has to come back with me. Otherwise, I will not go to the heavenly planets. And that dog changed into the form of the father of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj. He said, my dear son, I have tested you twice. Once in the beginning when you know all of your brothers were dead, wanting to drink water. And now again you have proved yourself to be a great religious person. You board the chariot. Let us go to the heavenly planets. So they went to the heavenly planets, and whom does he see? He does not see Pandavas. He sees Duryodhan. He sees all other Kauravas sitting on a very splendid asan, decorated very gorgeously. And when he sees Duryodhan, he becomes very angry. He said, what is this? He said, this guy, I don't want to see his face. He was so obnoxious in his behavior. He performed so many sinful activities, but still is sitting on the asan next to Indra. He said, I don't want to stay in this place. And Indra said, no, how can you speak like this? He said, you have this, you are still talking as if you are of the earthly being. You are talking the language of earthly beings, that you are making a discrimination between good people and bad people. Duryodhan has gained the heavens because he fought the battle religiously. And because of his heroic death, he has gone back. He has come to the heavenly planets. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, what about my brothers? He said, I don't want to stay to this place. Wherever my brothers are there, I want to go there. And Indra said, you should not keep this affection for your brothers. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, I want to go there. And there was one attendant of Indra. He said, okay, let us go to the place where the Pandavas are residing. And they took him to a place where it was smelling obnoxious. One could not go further. Yudhishthira Maharaj started choking. He was about to take a turn. He said, I don't want to continue. Then he heard this sound from all the direction, all four direction, calling, my dear Yudhishthira, do not leave this place. Because you have come to this place, the air which is coming from your body is giving us relief. Don't leave this place. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was curious. He said, who are you? And he heard, I am Bhima, I am Nakula, I am Sahadev, I am Arjun, I am Draupadi. So he was shocked. He said, how is this? They are thrown into a hellish situation. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, with great anger, he told, I do not want to come. He said, I will suffer in this place, but I will continue to stay with my brothers. And then again, Dharmaraj, he said, again you have passed the test. This was the third test. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him, said, why is that we have to see heaven? Why is that we have to see the hell? He said, we Pandavas, we never performed any sinful activities. How is that we have seen the hell? And then Yudhishthira Maharaj was told by Indra, again, this is the story of Mahabharata, which is bewildering. He said, my dear Yudhishthira, because you lied on the battlefield, just to kill the father of Ashwatthama, that is Dronacharya, and because of that lie, you have to have the glimpse of the hellish planet. Similarly, your brothers also perform certain sinful activities, therefore they also had to come to hell. This is the story in the Mahabharata. Again, we discussed last week, even though Mahabharata says, from the point of view of good and bad, good karma and bad karma, but when you see from the point of view of transcendental activities, the same story can be seen. It is explained that Yudhishthira Maharaj did not see hell because he lied. Rather, he hesitated to lie. This is what Shripad Madhvacharya explains in the Mahabharata Tatparya Niranaya. When Krishna wanted him to tell the lie, he hesitated. He said, I will not tell lie. And because of that, he had to see the hellish planet. And in fact, Indra explained it was not a hell. It was an illusion created by the demigods just to test Yudhishthir Maharaj. Then again all the Pandavas came back and the Mahabharata explains that they were taken to the higher planetary systems. It does not mention that they went to heaven. Their ultimate destination does not say that it was heaven. It just says that they went back to the higher planetary system. That is the clue. What is the clue? The clue is that they did not reside. When any living entity has to go back to the spiritual world, he has to go through all the planetary system. And then eventually goes back to the spiritual world. So, Mahabharata is giving this part of the story. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains completely differently. Just like we read, what to speak of Krishna going back to the spiritual world, anyone who hears the story of the Lord, that is the assurance given by the Lord in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, anyone who hears the pastimes of Lord Krishna's activities, his birth and activities, after quitting his body, he goes back to the spiritual world. And what to speak of those devotees who always stayed with the Lord? They in fact enhanced the pastimes of the Lord. They were also part of Krishna's pastime. How is it possible that they had to go to hell and heaven? It does not make any sense. And Shripad Madhvacharya explains that Pandava's boasting was not at all boasting like a mundane people. He said it was not the right conclusion. Apparently Yudhishthira Maharaj gave this reason. But Pandava's boasting is also the boasting like Krishna's in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is also boasting time to time. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. He said everything material and spiritual world emanates from me. He says, become my devotee, sarvadharman parityajya. So many places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes it very clear, he is very boastful about his identity. So Madhvacharya says, the Pandavas explaining about their own character is as good as Krishna talking about himself. Therefore it is not boasting. And again, Shripad Madhvacharya quotes the scripture saying that, when there is a superior person and he explains his identity, this is such and such person and these are my attributes, he said that is not considered as boasting. Only when you boast in front of your superiors who are much superior than you, then that is the cause of your fall down. Just like the example is given, even Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he does not boast. In fact, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, just for the sake of Arjuna, for his benefit and for the benefit of general mass of people, he is giving his identity. What is his identity? I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not boasting. That is to say, that if you understand my identity, you will be benefited. We have discussed this before also. That, you know, if a person who is a very big man, but is working in the garden, like Radha Gopinath Prabhu told a story, and his father had the hobby of working in the small garden outside their house. And because he was working as a gardener, naturally, he was in the dress of a gardener. He was dressed shabbily. You know, there was soil around his cloth. And somebody came to his place asking for charity. And he said, you know, I want a charity and I want to talk to your boss. So he continued to work with his, you know, instruments, trying to make this soil very, you know, fluffy. And then he said, Whom do you want to meet? Why do you want to meet? So the person was asking for charity. He didn't want to talk to the gardener. He said, you tell me where is your boss? I don't want to talk to you. So again he said, why you want to meet him? What is the reason? He said, I don't want to talk to you. So for the benefit of the person who had come to ask charity, his father said, I am the boss of this house. I am the owner of this house. What charity you want? So immediately that person became submissive. So similarly, for the benefit of others, when a devotee or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Srila Prabhupada, was very particular. The story is there. Devotees sometime, they had this pamphlet made. And they had not put the, you know, title. They just put A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And maybe Prabhupada was there or not there. And Prabhupada called some of his disciples. He was screaming. He said, this is wrong. He said, how is that you are put like this? You should put His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Founder Acharya. So if somebody want to hear this story fresh, he will say, what is this? He's so angry that they have not put titles to him. Why should he worry about titles? Why should he worry about, you know, position? He's asking his disciple that you have made a mistake of not putting, you know, Founder Acharya International Society for Krishna Consciousness. For whose benefit? For the benefit of the disciples only. Just to make it very clear that what is his position, not for himself. So that in the future nobody should claim that I am the Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada made that on a legal grounds so that others should not claim the property of ISKCON. When I read that story first time, I was completely confused. But then devotees gave the explanation. So similarly, the Pandavas' boasting was not at all boasting like ordinary people. That was the not reason of their falling to this material world. Or, you know, falling before completing their journey back to the spiritual realm. So this is one explanation given by Madhvacharya. And the real explanation is there very clearly mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is that? It explains that when the Pandavas were going back to the spiritual world, how can one go back to the spiritual world? Unless one is completely purified, one cannot go back to the spiritual world. So Sukadeva Goswami explains, Shaunaka Rishi is explaining to all the, Suta Goswami is explaining to all the rishis. He says, my dear, all the sages, when the Pandavas departed back to the spiritual world, their vidusha kalmasha sthanam, that all of their contamination was eradicated. How it was eradicated? It is explained simply by remembering Krishna. Just feeling the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever little contamination was there, it was completely eradicated. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam makes it very clear, all the Pandavas went back to the spiritual world with their self same body. They did not quit their body. They went back to the spiritual world with the self same body. And Jiva Goswami explains that those who are completely purified, they can go back to the spiritual world without even quitting the body. Why? Because even the material body is the part of the energy of the Lord. And because it is the energy of the Lord, the devotees, they transform even the matter into spiritual. Srila Prabhupada explained, when one of our devotees, Srinadji Prabhu, asked this question to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, how is that when Bhishma was shooting arrows at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it appears that Lord was bleeding. If you read in Mahabharata, it explained that 365 arrows were shot at Arjuna, 250 arrows were shot at Lord Krishna. And it appears that the body of the Lord was being pierced. So he asked this question, how is this possible? If Krishna's form is transcendental, how it is being pierced? Prabhupada said, that's very easy. Krishna can make spiritual into material and material into spiritual. And the problem is we do not know when he converts that into material and when he converts into spiritual. That is our problem. So therefore, we as a conditioned living entity, seeing the activities of the Lord, we take that to be a matter. Even though that is under the purview of this spiritual energy of the Lord. So Krishna keeps converting them. Spiritual into material, material into spiritual. So these Pandavas, because they are completely purified, they went back to the spiritual world in their self-same body. What to speak of the Pandavas, who are the constant companions of the Lord? Even Tukara Maharaj, it is said that, and he went back to the spiritual world in his self-same body. He was saying bye-bye to everyone. No? That I am going back to the spiritual world. What to speak of that? There are many devotees. They tell, okay, I am going to quit my body on such and such a day. One of our devotees' mother, when she was very old, she was chanting Hare Krishna. And then she told that on this day, on Ekadashi day, Friday, early morning, you know, I am going to quit my body. And we have personally experienced, seen it. One of the devotees told that our grandmother is saying like this, that she is going to quit her body on Friday. And sure enough, she quit her body on Friday. So therefore, if it is possible for one, in this age of Kali, a rare phenomena, you can imagine what would have happened to the Pandavas. They went back to the spiritual world with their self-same body. And if this is the case of the Pandavas, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If you read any mundane Mahabharata written by mundane people, as we discussed, they are so offensive. Therefore, it is said that even though it is the story of Krishna, but if it is spoken and read by mundane people, it is just like a serpent touching the milk. What does it do? It causes poisonous effect. It is very bewildering. They read so bluntly that, you know, they use words as if some ordinary person is quitting his body. And they talk about performing the final rites. Just because they write like that, and just because people read that, both people get contaminated. It is very offensive. Therefore, it is very important to understand from the scriptural point of view how Krishna quit his body. There is one story which is presented by the mundane people. Just like it is explained, Mahabharata tells the story that Jara, the hunter Jara, he came. After all the Yadavas, they killed each other. This is another story. They killed each other and Balaramji entered into the ocean and he went back to his original form as Anantanag. And then Krishna was sitting under a peepala tree. And his left foot was on his right foot and his soul was appearing to be the face of deer. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, first of all, when so many warriors were killed, apparently where is the question of deer coming there? It is not possible. So where is the question of hunter thinking about a deer? He cannot come there. But that is the apparent story. And Jara shot the arrow at the feet of the Lord. And it pierced. Bhagavatam uses the word piercing. It pierced the soul of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that's very easy. That was the perception of Jara, that he is piercing. But Krishna's foot did not pierce. And when Jara came there, he was aghast. Why he was aghast? Because Krishna immediately converted himself into Chaturbhuja form. And when Jara saw that, he realized what he has done. He started offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, my dear Madhusudan, because of this sinful activities, I will attain hellish consequences. Therefore you kill me. Now again, this story has been explained in a differently by materialistic people. They said, because Krishna in the form of Lord Ramachandra in Treta Yuga had killed Vali by hiding. And as a reaction to this, just see how obnoxious these stories are. As a reaction to this, Vali appeared as Jara and he shot the arrow and Krishna had to suffer the consequences of his karma. It is a complete obnoxious story because it is not there in the scripture. So therefore it is very important that what kind of books we read. Again and again, one should not read any kinds of books because that will contaminate our consciousness. Shripad Madhvacharya explains in his Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya that Jara was not Vali. In fact, Jara was Bhrigu Maharshi. That Bhrigu Maharshi, when there was a discussion among all the demigods and the sages to decide who is the Supreme Person, and Bhrigu was chosen to find out who is the Supreme Lord, and he happened to come to Lord Narayan and he kicked on the chest of Lord Narayan very severely, and Lord Narayan started massaging the feet, thinking that, you know, your feet are very soft and my heart is very hard, maybe you got hurt. So even though the motivation behind kicking the Lord was not just to kick and offend the Lord, but to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna saw that attitude of Bhrigu Maharshi. But still, because the sin was performed, because you can't kick the Lord, that is the greatest sin. So therefore, Bhrigu appeared as a Jara hunter. Again, this was Krishna's plan also. One can take it as a curse, one can take it as a lower birth, or one can take it as Bhrigu Maharshi had to play a further role in the pastimes of the Lord. And devotees take it like that. It was not cursed by the Lord, rather Bhrigu was supposed to take further part in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhrigu became a hunter. Hunter's birth is a low birth. It is a heinous birth. And on top of that, Jara shot an arrow at the feet of the Lord. That was much more criminal. So when Jara came and he begged forgiveness from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna said, don't worry. It was part of my plan. You are supposed to do like this so that he can cause disillusion amongst the ordinary people. And Krishna immediately at that spot, he sent back Jara to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha Loka. So the question is raised. Krishna wanted to show, before I depart, just see what I am going to do with my one who tried to shoot me. I am sending back to the spiritual world. So Krishna first sent Jara back to the spiritual world. And meanwhile, Daruka came there. When Daruka came, he saw Krishna and he started praying to the Supreme Lord. Right in front of the eyes of Daruka, Daruka is the charioteer of the Lord. Without his driving the chariot, chariot does not move. Now the journey was much bigger. Krishna, sometime you travel from Dwarka to Vidarbha, to capture Rukmini. Within one night he had traveled so long distance. Now the Lord had to go back to the spiritual world. So Krishna told Daruka, my dear Daruka, you go back and give this message to all of my relatives, those who are surviving relatives. And let all the wives should go along with Arjuna. And right in front of the eyes of Daruka, he saw that the chariot started rising to the sky along with the horses. And Daruka was wonderstruck. And along with the chariot and the horses, all the divine weapons of the Lord, they started rising up to the upper planets. And all the chariot, horses, and all the divine weapon, they went back to the spiritual world. So Krishna showed that I am sending them also without the help of Daruka. And meanwhile, the message reached to the demigods, headed by Brahma, Shiva and Indra. They came there just to see the disappearance pastimes of the Lord. Now this description is also there in the Mahabharata. No difference between the description in the Mahabharata and Bhagavat. Why? Because For everybody else, Vyasadeva may give the mundane flavor, dharmartha kama moksha, to the pure devotees like the Pandavas. But when Krishna is involved, he cannot compromise. It is the same as it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna started going up in the sky and nobody could watch. Nobody could see the form of the Supreme Lord. It is explained when all the demigods came to the Lord, Krishna closed his eyes. Why did he close his eyes? The Acharya has explained that all the demigods, they also came on the shore of the milk ocean, begging for Krishna's descent to this world. And Krishna had fulfilled all of their desires. So all the demigods would feel that, you know, Krishna, you have done so much for us. They wanted to thank the Lord. So Krishna did not want to go through all these social obligations. And on top of that, all the demigods would plead the Lord, my dear Lord, please come to my planet. Just like it is natural. You know, when the spiritual master appears, you know, hundreds of devotees, they say, come to my house, come to my house, as if he has no other business. Huh? So similarly, when Krishna came, all the demigods are surrounded, saying that, my dear Lord, come to my planet, come to my planet. So Krishna did not wanted to, he didn't want to follow all that social obligation. So he closed his eyes. And Jiva Goswami explained, this is how a yogi has to meditate. Krishna was teaching that you close your eyes and meditate upon himself. Krishna was meditating upon himself and he started rising back to the spiritual world. And Shripad Madhvacharya explains, that is the beauty of Krishna's activities. Ye yatha mam prapadyate. When Krishna is going back to the spiritual world, what he did was, he dropped one form which appeared to be made of matter, resembling the nature of this material world. What is the nature of this material world? Which is made of different elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So he made it appear that there was one body which exactly resembled like Krishna's, but it was illusory form. And the example is given just like if there is a picture of a lion, but that is not lion, it is different from lion. Similarly, it appeared to be like Krishna's form, but it was not Krishna's form. It was illusory. And Prabhupada gives the example, when the non-Vedic people, when they invaded India, they would destroy, they would break the different deities of the Lord. And there was one, Ibrahim Lodi. He was so heinous that he had many deities broken and used as, you know, butchering platform where he would kill the animals. And he made some as the steps. And they would feel that we have killed the god of the Hindus. Huh? He would feel that we have killed the gods of the Hindus. No, you cannot. It is not possible. That is the illusion of a person. So similarly, just to make atheistic people to tell that just see, Krishna also had his final departure. He had to give up his body. So Krishna created one form for them. You are atheistic, continue to be bewildered by your atheistic philosophy. And then because the Lord is very merciful, and second part, it is explained that Lord also resided in earthly planet other than that form. He stayed in the form of his holy name. When he was departing back to the spiritual world, Shripad Madhvacharya says, another form remained in this earthly planet in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Another form, when he was going back to the spiritual world, another form stayed in the sun globe. Therefore, when people go and worship Surya Narayan, of course, Lord is always there in the heart of Surya Narayan also. So when the devotees worship, they chant Gayatri. What is it? They are worshipping Lord Narayan, who is residing in the heart of Surya and who is also residing in the planet of Surya Loka. And then another form stayed in the planet of Lord Shiva, so that Lord Shiva can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, in one of the Puranas it is explained that if you go to the home of Lord Shiva, what will you see? You don't see ghosts, hobgoblins and, you know, people drinking ganja or smoking ganja. You don't see them. In the private quarters of Lord Shiva, it is explained in this Puran that Lord Shiva, along with Kartikeya, Ganapati and Mother Parvati, he has got a beautiful altar of Radha and Krishna. And they are regularly having Harikatha, worship of the form of the Lord. And then Lord Shiva has his duties when he has to handle all the hobgoblins, ghosts and those who commit suicide. That is a different duty. But in his loka, Lord Krishna is residing. Another form went to Brahma loka, where Brahmaji can worship the Supreme Lord. And then the Supreme Lord continued his journey, which no demigods could perceive. It was like glittering, they could not see anything. And that form went back to the spiritual world in Golok Vrindavan. This is how Krishna performed his pastime. But at the same time, Shukadeva Goswami to assure Parikshit Maharaj, seeing Parikshit Maharaj feel little inconvenience, seeing and hearing the departure of the Lord, there was some kind of, you know, not right feeling in the heart of Parikshit. So Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, I said, my dear Parikshit, he said, you don't have to worry. He said, Krishna, as the Supreme Lord, he went to the abode of Yamalok and he brought back the dead son of his teacher Sandipani Muni in the same body, not even changed body. And he said, my dear Parikshit, you had the personal experience, you are dead by the weapon of Brahmastra thrown by Ashwatthama. There is no weapon as powerful as Brahmastra weapon. But Krishna revived you. Not that he changed your body, he brought back to life. And then he said, my dear Parikshit, Lord Krishna, he fought with Lord Shiva, who, what does he do? He sends death to the agents of death. That is his power. And just before departing to this world, departing back to the spiritual world, Lord Krishna sent Jara to the Vaikuntha planet. So what is the problem for the Lord? To personally go back to the spiritual world. Therefore you don't have to worry. And in fact, Shukadeva Goswami, to make it more confirmation, he said, anyone who recites these pastimes of Krishna's going back to the spiritual world will also go back to the spiritual world. That is the power of Krishna's activities. His birth, his disappearance, his activities, they all have the spiritual nature. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the whole pastimes of the Lord of, you know, folding the activities of the Yadus. Even the Yadus appeared that they fought with each other. There was a massacre of unlimited soldiers. How is this took place? How is that, you know, all the eternal associates of the Lord were destroyed like that? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that is also again an illusion of the Lord. And he gives a very beautiful example. Just like a magician, one time he came to a king and he said, my dear king, now I will perform my magic. And he took the necklace of the king, he said, now I am going to make it disappear. Right in front of the eyes of the king, the necklace disappeared. Then he took gold coin of the king, he said, now I am going to make it disappear. The gold coin disappeared. He said, I am going to make your 7,000 horses disappear. Right in front of the eyes of the king, all the 7,000 horses of the king got disappeared. Then he said, now all of your family members, right in front of the eyes of the king, all the family members of the king, they disappeared. And king was aghast, he was watching this. And the magician said, just like I perform magic, by the grace of my guru, I can also perform mystic yoga. By seeing all of these things, I want to quit my body. And he sat there. And he invoked some fire. And his body was burned into fire right in front of the eyes of the king. And seeing that, all the wives of the magician, they could not stand. They jumped into that fire. All the children jumped into that fire. And everyone was dead. That was very shocking. And after some days, one young girl came to the king. And she said, my dear king, you must remember very much that few days back one magician had come and he had performed so many magic. And I am the daughter of that magician. And he has sent everything to you. Your gold coin is back. Your necklace is back. Your horses are back. Your relatives are back. And he is asking for some remuneration for his feat. And king was shocked. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, if a magician can play with death and birth, he can play around birth and death, what to speak of the Supreme Lord? He can also do it. So therefore, again in the Bhagavatam it is explained, yes, yogis perform tapasya to quit their body. They burn their body by creating a fire within their body. But Krishna does not need to do that. Because in the 11th canto it is explained, Krishna is talking to the yogis, when you are quitting your body by creating that agni, that fire, the principle of that agni, in between that agni my form is there. So when this agni cannot touch, what kind of agni can burn the body of the Lord? So therefore he does not need to perform this meditation of burning his body, because his body cannot be touched by any elements. Within that fire also, the Supreme Lord is there. And why did Krishna perform this pastime of quitting his body? Another example or another reason given by Sukadeva Goswami. If Krishna had lived longer in this world, he had continued to live in this material world, unnecessarily the prestige of material world would have increased. Because this is not the place to stay here. If Krishna continues to stay, then other people will say, no, Lord has said I should also stay. Even though Lord didn't stay, people are planning to stay eternally in this material world. So Krishna, to make it very clear that this is not the place where we are supposed to stay, we are supposed to go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, he made it appear, or he showed everyone how to quit this material body, even though he had no material body. So therefore, when we understand these pastimes from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then when we read Mahabharata story from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything becomes clear. Then all the controversies from beginning of the birth of the Pandavas up to their departure, and in between, there will be no controversy. It will only enhance our devotion. It will only increase our appreciation for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the time comes for us to quit this material body, as Krishna gives this assurance, as Sukadeva Goswami gives this assurance, by remembering the pastime, what to speak of Krishna's pastime, even the activity of an ordinary devotee. Of course, devotee is not ordinary. Even hearing the pastime of somebody who has quit his body in this material world, remembering Krishna will have the same results. Therefore, devotees, when somebody quits their body, you know, they have a function. They glorify a devotee, they glorify his departure, and after the talk is over, there is a big feast also, with lots of sweets. Why? Because they realize that this departure is not mundane. It is not ordinary. It will fetch us unlimited results. And what to speak of the departure of the Supreme Lord? And what to speak of the departure of the great devotees like the Pandavas? It is not at all material. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So thus we conclude our series of the lectures of controversial stories in Mahabharata. We hope that many controversies are resolved and you all got benefited by this. Because especially in India, you know, this kind of stories will keep coming and they will cause so much of confusion. But when there is a proper understanding, just like Gaur Gopal Prabhu has written one article on Sati Sahamaran. I saw one article presented by one lady and condemning the whole process of Sahamaran without understanding what is the background of it. Making it appear to be very obnoxious. Making it appear to be as the plot played by the Brahmanas. Making it to be very heinous and demonic. But when you see it from the point of scriptures and understand from the scriptural point of view, it becomes very clear. So those who are interested in understanding this also can read the BTG magazine, English. They can subscribe. I think this issue and the next issue will be very clear understanding. What is it and how they followed it and how in this age of Kali it cannot be practiced. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you mentioned in your class that the Pandavas, for whatever reason, they had to go through this experience of hellish condition of life before they went back to the spiritual world. But on the other hand, we'll find now, this Duryodhana, the leader of the demons, Kali personified, he was shamelessly sitting on the throne. And people, it's very difficult to understand. And second thing is...
Sorry, let me complete this. I forgot to mention that it is explained that all the Kauravas headed by Duryodhana, when they went back to the heavenly planets, because he did act of dying on the battlefield, a heroic death, naturally that will fetch him heaven.
Yes, Pandava also didn't.
So let me complete. So Indra told this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, according to the calculation of the heavenly planet or the calculation of Dharmaraj, if you perform too many sinful activities and very small pious activities, first you are taken to the heavenly planets. And if you have done very, very less sinful activities and more pious activities, again first you will be taken to the hellish planet. So Pandavas did not go to the hellish planet. It was a test for Yudhishthira Maharaj. No, they didn't go to the heavenly hellish planets. It was an illusory hell. They were not there. It was a false Pandavas. It was a test for Yudhishthira Maharaj because they had gone back to the higher realm. Mahabharata does not mention that it is heaven. It does not use the word heaven. So it is explained in the Mahabharata that it was an illusory hell. But the Kauravas went to heaven and Indra told this because their piety was less but sinful activities were so much. So therefore how long they stayed in the heavenly planets?
Let me tell 1 minute.
They stayed in the heavenly planets for 4,300 years. This is Madhvacharya. And that in the heavenly planets is very insignificant. Because there is too much of pleasure and time passes so quickly. It's like a lightning bolt in the sky. And then it is explained that after completing their quota, I think it is already over now. 5,000 years are over. And then they attain their original nature, which is called Yatudhan demons. They are part of this demonic Vamsha. All the demons, they became part of that Vamsha. But two demons, Mahabharata explains this very clearly. Vyasdev was narrating this. He said, Duryodhan is a personification of Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is there now, presently. We are seeing him in the form of this age. It is explained in the Mahabharata. And Shakuni
is the personification of Dwapar Yuga. Why Dwapar? Because Dwapar is duality. You know, there is hypocritical behavior, good and bad. In one place you find goodness, in another place you'll find complete nonsensical activities. So therefore, these two people, Shakuni and Duryodhan, Duryodhan became part of Kali and he became Dwapar, and all others headed by Dushyasan, they all became part of this demonic clan. So therefore, their heavenly pleasure is short-lived. Just like, you know, big gundas, hooligans, they have got their own home. You know, lavish, posh place, but how long? For a short time. Once they are caught, then they have to go to Arthur Road jail. So similarly, their heavenly pleasure is like that. Only for 4,300 years. So forgot to mention that. And their hell is real. After that, their demonic activities are real. But the Pandavas never went to hell. It was simply illusory. Just like Mother Sita. No, she was never captured by Ravan. And this is explained in the Puranas. That Ravan was not holding real Sita. Real Sita was with the Lord only, her internal energy. But what he had was a Maya Sita. So similarly, this Maya was created. So Pandavas never went to hellish planet. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, what is the goal of the mundane people, ordinary mundane people like us, who have nothing to our credit to go to the Godhead or even to the heavenly planet or something? So even by becoming a devotee, what should be our goal when the Pandavas had to at least pass through the illusion of the hell? For such small mistakes, those mistakes, we are full of those mistakes. What would be ultimate goal of us? Second question.
1 minute. Let me answer the first one. Therefore, it is explained, it is the benediction of the Lord to give us the complete, you know, this is advertisement department going on in the material world. It is hell. What is this? This place is, you know, everywhere hellish activities are going on. Therefore, it is explained, that is the benediction of the Lord. We can see in this age what happens if you don't practice devotional service. In the previous yuga, you could not see that because everyone would practice religion. So hardly anyone would be irreligious person. So you could not observe what happens without practicing devotional service. But in this age of Kali, you can see. Just get out of this place and you'll find what takes place when you don't practice devotional service. Billions of people walking like, you know, walking crops. Dead bodies walking, you know, moving here and there without any goal. So by seeing them, one should develop conviction that this is not worth living like that. Srila Prabhupada says that people have become so desensitized. I was listening to one lecture. He said, it is quite common amongst the animals, not all animals, but some animals, to kill their own offspring and eat. Right? But you don't find this in the human beings. But Prabhupada explains, but now what they are doing? Even the mothers are killing their own offspring. They are aborting. So if you go back, you know, if you can get back the past, or get some people, you know, those who lived 200 years back, and tell them, you know, these people are performing these sinful activities, they'll fall unconscious by hearing that. Why? Because, you know, they are very sensitive. And in this age of Kali, people are not only living sinful activities, they are not only performing sinful activities, but they don't feel anything about it. That is the point. They are quite, you know, living casually. So what is so about it? So that's how we become desensitized. But when you practice devotional service, you start realizing what's happening outside there. And I was part of that world.
I don't want to be part of that world. So you don't have to go through what the Pandavas went. You are already experiencing it. So what Krishna, what Lord Chaitanya is doing, Mahaprabhu, being so merciful, he said, okay, little suffering is there, but if you chant, easy process. Chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, you know, reading little Srimad Bhagavatam, taking Krishna Prasad, very simple process for the worst kind of crime which never committed in any of the previous yugas. Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, you know, Satya Yuga, nobody created such a crime. But in Kali Yuga people are creating, committing such simple activities, but the process is very simple. So, we have great prospectus of going back to the spiritual world. But even after this, if we don't use, then we are the most foolish, worse than the ass. So easily available, just because of some small problem here and there, people give up. That is not right. What is our prospectus? Even though we are so sinful, immediately we can go back to the spiritual world. So why should we give up? For the pleasure which is not even available. In the previous yugas, nobody would eat food which is all infected with chemicals, all artificial food, eating in a plastic, junk food, you know, packed food. And they feel pride about it, you know, we are making progress. No, if you understand and study Srila Prabhupada's books properly, you know what's going on out there? Because Prabhupada presented both the side. The dark side of the material world and the bright side available in the spiritual realm. You chant Hare Krishna, he said, in this very lifetime, no need to go through a hellish planet, no need to go through heavenly planets. You can go back. Because we are experiencing here only. Man artificially has created hell and heaven. Both are there. So you don't need to experience in the heaven or hellish planet. From here only go back to the spiritual world. That is our prospectus. Unlimited scope to go back to Krishna.
Well, another question. When dog is supposed to be so inauspicious that when it sees doing something good, it becomes bad. Why Yudhishthira Maharaj was taking the dog along?
Not because it was a dog, but because it followed him. Because, you know, not because he had a hobby, you know, I want to keep a dog, you know. Not like that. Because the dog followed him, it trusted Yudhishthira Maharaj, therefore he didn't want to, you know, act otherwise. Not that he had attraction for dog, he just followed. Again, this is another, we discussed this, where people are spending billions and billions of dollars to protect dog, but cows, they're slaughtering. And even in India, can you imagine that? It was very shocking. Where whichever part of the temple the devotees are trying to protect the cows, there was a complaint. That no, you cannot keep the cows. How can India flourish? This is the country where dharma is supposed to flourish. People say, no, okay, dharma is supposed to be here only. Then why India is suffering the most? Why will it not suffer? Because cows are slaughtered left and right. Highest number of cows are slaughtered and meat is imported. And then abortion. Hundreds and thousands of babies are being killed. And then there is no Vedic culture. There is no scope for practicing religion. Government does not give any facilities. There is no spiritual facilities. The Brahmanas are not protected. And old men are not protected. There is no facility for them. And then women are exploited. So when these five people are not protected, how can culture flourish? How can society flourish? So naturally it will not flourish. So therefore mission of Srila Prabhupada was not only to establish Harinam Sankirtan, that is the prime goal, but along with that establish this culture. You know, and the culture begins with giving protection to these five categories. Not that bringing dogs from Western world and taking pride. No, people walk. You know, they can walk with beat bag, so easy. But they had to have two dogs and dog is pulling them. They think that we are pulling that, but dog is pulling them. And when the dog passes stool, you know, they fold it and put it in their pocket. Yeah, they do it in the Western world. because it's not supposed to pass tool anywhere and everywhere. But it will pass because it is a dog. And just he'll pick up with his pocket and cover it nicely and put it in his pocket. So how will that society flourish? It is not possible. So we'll stop here and
Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada
ki jai.
Thank you.